You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome to this championship edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I am your host here on a Wednesday afternoon, the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports. And joining me in the Horace Studios is Zach Willis. Zach, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. You know, I would say Championship Monday, but if people knew the weekend we went through, we're recording this on Wednesday. So you get it when you get it, but there's no better feeling than winning down in Frisco. So I'm jacked up.
No, and not that anything terrible happened like between the two of us, but we needed a break probably from each other for a little bit. And also just bonkers. For those of you that weren't following the saga online, Zach and I's obviously, well, not obvious, but... So just so people know, you and I were planning on covering NDSU Denver on Thursday.
Yep.
That gets canceled, so we take a later flight out of Denver, because why spend a day in Denver for no reason? We're both family men. We chose to spend the day in Fargo instead of wandering around Denver.
Correct.
With nothing to do. Well, that flight gets canceled, so you and I end up driving to Minneapolis so that we can take a 6 a.m. flight out on Friday. Then our flight coming back, by the way, at this time we're getting, you know, a text that my wife may potentially be in labor. That did not happen, but we're getting distressful texts that my wife may be having some issues. I'm trying to get home. We're checking to see if there's somebody with a private jet. We're trying to get back. Then our flight gets pushed twice, and you and I just say, to hell with it. We're going back the next day. And, yeah. That was our saga. We had between 4 and 5 adjustments to our travel schedule, but I don't think we were alone.
No. I mean, and for us to sit here and complain about having to go to Texas and watch a football game.
It's true.
It wasn't all bad, but it's all relative, and we definitely were not the only Bison fans stranded. So
no, we weren't.
You know, our brothers in arms, we all fought together this weekend.
We did. Came home with that dub. Into, I guess, the news portion of the show. I don't have a second source on this, and ultimately don't feel comfortable like reporting it. So I'll just say what I'm going to say, and that's that I am hearing that Grant Nelson's knee injury will not be season ending. And I'll leave it at that.
It's always good news.
Yep. I they're the three worst letters in sports.
Mm-mm. Yeah. That's not even going to say him.
Right. That's not the deal. So optimism surrounding the alien unicorn. And for that, we are thankful, because
good stuff.
Your boy would have been big sad. I love that kid. I mean, you know, I just.
That's your basketball son.
I know. You're big sad. Yeah. I would have been big sad. We are also hearing, and most likely it will have been confirmed by the time this reaches your ears, that men's basketball Thursday night. I might push this one out. In fact, I probably will. You're going to get this here on Wednesday. So tomorrow's game will be likely postponed with St. Thomas due to COVID issues with St. Thomas. NDSU not currently having COVID issues, though I'm sure they fought it just like everybody else has. Matt Entz, AFCA Coach of the Year. You know what? Shouts to Matt Ants. What do we got? Here we go. We have no idea how long these ones go.
I thought you were going to hit him with an excuse me.
No, I don't need to be excused. I understand that he was the...
Excuse me?
Oh, my goodness. There it went anyway. Yeah. Congrats to Matt. And here's an actual excuse me.
Excuse me?
Quincy Patterson staying.
Love it.
Well, I mean, for it makes NDSU a better team.
Absolutely.
And go ahead.
Hey, we just talked about this, like, in whatever role it is, Quincy is a talented football player.
Yeah.
So he increases.
He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Yes.
Yeah. Real dog. So
I'm just bored today.
Yeah, I can see that. You're pressing all around. But, you know, Quincy's just one of those guys that you love to have on your football team. One, for what he does on the field, but he's also a culture guy. It seems like guys rally around him and they love seeing him play and, you know, getting his flowers after a heck of a performance in the championship game. And also, I want to give my flowers to Coach Entz. Navigating this whole COVID things from the start of January 2020, basically, to now, to come back from playing 24, 23 games, whatever it was, how many they played, yep, to coming back and winning the national championship, navigating everything that they have to do. Proud of him. And it's really cool that he got the recognition of Coach of the Year.
I agree, and I think, you know, because somebody asked me kind of a weird, I guess, question, and it was sort of like, build the case against Coach Entz as far as, like, hiring him somewhere else.
Sure.
I said, well, you can certainly, you know, point to, well, he's winning with Kleiman's guys. When you talk about 18 and 19.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
19,
20. 19, yeah, right.
Yep.
Or 19, basically.
Yeah.
Then you can point to 20 as not, you know, of the standard. And then, you know, you can kind of walk your way through some of that stuff. And I think he really kind of put that to bed in the sense that there's a ton of the guys that he brought in through the portal. And frankly, guys like Cole Wisniewski that were just ready,
mm-hmm,
that are Matt Ants guys.
Right.
And Matt Ants was a huge part of this program when Chris Kleiman left. And Chris deserves all the credit in the world, yeah, just like Craig Bohl did before him. But I just, this, I think, season, especially after they installed Cam Miller, I just feels like answered a lot of questions where people in the spring were like, oh, man, is Matt the right guy? Or,
yeah.
And I think some of those questions were unfounded, but people talk, man. I mean,
yeah,
people do be saying stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And that'll live on forever. But, you know, I just think it really speaks to him to, like I said, go through all of this and hear people say, is this the guy for the job? And that whole argument of it's not his guys has always been weird to me because you're still leading those young men. It doesn't matter, right, who recruited them. And let me say this, Coach Entz was in front of everybody that we were recruiting in our class. So we still knew him as a face of the program when we were coming in, even, sure, though he was the DC. So getting talent has never been a problem for NDSU. So I don't really get where that argument comes from. I mean, he did a hell of a job. So all my praise to Coach Entz.
All right. Speaking of another thing I want to just kind of commend Coach on, and this is going to, like, we're getting kind of into the weeds here as far as, like, the Coach Entz Appreciation Podcast. But maybe it has to be the Coach Entz Appreciation
Podcast. Yeah, he gets too much hate, man. Let's give him an Appreciation Podcast.
I got to be impressed by, okay, it's 2:51 on Wednesday, right?
Yep.
I have yet to see a portal announcement.
It's shocking. Even, like, from guys that maybe won't
attrition
play.
Guys.
Right. That are just part of the program of what it is, and maybe they're good enough to play elsewhere, but they're not good enough to play here, right? There's people that I was probably one of those guys, but it, like you said, maintaining that culture is just another testament to how good of a job he's doing.
The buy-in is incredible, and you talk about that buy-in, but how about the coaching staff buy-in too? Right. Shout out Buddha.
Yeah.
Phenomenal person, good recruiter. The DNs swear by him.
The sky's the limit for that dude.
And you know, I think did it the right way.
Yep.
And I think, you know, we mentioned, like I said, I don't think another, not that there aren't good coaches up here, not that there aren't good defensive end coaches up here, but I don't think it makes a ton of sense for them to go grab another coach with tremendous upper Midwest ties.
Sure.
Because Entz has ties up here. Roll.
Yeah.
Larson.
NDSU, just in general.
Right, like, go find somebody that has an out-of-market recruiting
right.
tie because Beshorner, I mean, you go on and on and on about, like, where you can get kids. 80% of the staff has, and they should,
right?
Because this is the footprint.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reason to add, like, there's no reason to add somebody that can recruit the hell out of Minnesota.
Right. There's plenty of
those kids.
Yeah. Get somebody that recruits Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida well, or somebody that recruits the Southwest.
Sure.
His Arizona, SoCal.
Get deeper into Texas.
Right.
Like, whatever it is
there that you want to do. There are a million dogs in Texas.
Right.
So if you get somebody who can pull somebody that should not be in NDSU every year, then I think that's a good investment.
I agree. So we'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for the DN's situation. Been a star making position. I mean,
yeah.
You go all the way back to AJ Cooper,
right?
Jamar Cain, the big things he's doing now,
mm-hmm.
And then Buddha. You know, with this, I mean, they've struck gold at that spot over and over again.
Yeah. Well, let's just go into Big Deck time here. You know. Back into the swing of it. So whenever you need sauce, I can get it to you now because that's all I do every day. So, also just want to give a little teaser here for a little project that Big Dyke and Bison Report might be working on, to commemorate this season. Going to be a cool little idea and we're excited for it. Scary hours.
Keep your eyes peeled. We're getting into it. It's going to be sick when it's going to be very, very, very cool when we get it all figured out. All right, let's dive into the actual game, and then I think we'll take a little bit, because no hoops today. We're going to do a hoops podcast with no game going on Thursday. You're probably looking at some sort of like Saturday, Monday situation. Who the hell knows what you're looking at, to be honest with you, but we're just not going to preview a Saturday game on a Wednesday. I'll get Nate on later in the week. So we're going to kind of stretch the football talk out, which honestly with about 85% of our listeners is going to be just fine. This is a football town. Let's talk about touchdown Tommy a lot. I think, you know, we're not breaking any news to Bison fans, but Tommy going out, in my opinion, brought the game to your score prediction instead of mine.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they might have got to what I was talking about with them. But what I will say about that, and it's something that I said to somebody online, I didn't know how much better NDSU's offense was. I think if Montana State gets to the 20s on offense, NDSU gets to the 40s on O.
At least. And I made this point to you a bunch, like just in the hotel breaking down the game, what we just saw. And I was like, yeah, sure, Tommy gets them to 20, 25. The Bison are scoring 50. Like the way that offense is rolling, and we'll get into that later with how Coach Roll is in his bag, man. But like it was all – it wasn't a take your foot off the gas pedal. It was just a more conservative, let's conserve this, get everybody out. Safe because, I mean, that offense was rolling last Saturday.
They absolutely were, and like we said, like they absolutely took. They played football for two quarters in one drive,
mm-hmm.
and then they stopped.
Yeah,
and that's fine. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that after the Babich touchdown on Y Alabama, that was it.
Right, and
they closed up shop.
Yeah, you know there was. The defense is playing lights out, and, you know, whatever, you can talk about that hindrance because of the backup quarterback, who I thought played decently.
He was very good.
For how he played. But, like, there was just no reason to run up the score, man. Like
no,
you said.
And I don't think it had anything to do with sportsmanship. I think they understand they had the national championship
won
and run clock.
Exactly.
Was it 35-rip or 35-3?
After...
At one point, was it 35 rip?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was 35-0.
It's over.
Right.
Montana State's not getting to 36. The game's over.
Yeah.
So run clock.
Yeah. And that's what they did. And I have no critiques of how the game went, man. I think both sides of the ball played phenomenally. And obviously, it went in our favor. But I'm just disappointed as a fan. I wish I could have seen touchdown Tommy play and really see how the game turned out because I think he's a heck of a player.
Yeah, it would have been fun. The fake field goal thing was interesting. You and I both broke this or like looked at it again. And for me, when the tight end never turns his head,
mm-hmm.
that tells me that the kicker is basically doing the rugby thing.
Yeah.
And I got to ask, because JP rocked his ass.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, is that roughing the kicker? No. Once you,
you lose all your rights.
Yeah. You, once you start running around, you've lost your protections. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would be literally impossible to defend.
You would run that play on fourth down every time.
100% because, oh my God, I'm just about to get tackled. Now I kicked it. Now you hit me.
Right.
Now it's 15. That's not how it works. So the option had to have been, if it's wide open, run. If not, kick it, but maybe kick it a little softer. Don't kick it into the end zone.
Yeah, I think that was a net loss for that entire play. I don't know, really. And honestly, it's just a weird fake field goal to draw up, because if you're going to risk giving it to NDSU at the 25, like, what are you worried about it giving it to them at the 32?
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. It was just a weird play call.
We're told all week, well, shoot, 3 weeks. We were told the entire time, I guess, that this Montana State defense was different. And they just weren't.
Correct.
I don't know what it is about the Big Sky Conference. I don't know how South Dakota State lost to these guys. I mean, I could go off on a tangent about that, but you know, that's what I said in the preview pod. I said if South Dakota State and Montana State line up on a neutral field with equal rest, South Dakota State wins 7 or 8 times. I am not changing my stance at all.
I don't think you should.
They blew Montana State off the ball in a way that you would just never see against the Jackrabbits. And it's not like I enjoy sitting in this chair and giving love to the folks in Brookings.
Right.
But you're just not seeing that kind of stuff. And 8 minutes into the game, I knew it was over.
Like, even as a fan and a player, every time we hear something about this team we're playing in Frisco being different, or, you know, something we've never seen before, it never works out in their favor. And, I mean, you can say whatever you want about I really don't know what it is in the Big Sky Conference, because even last year in the spring when we played Eastern Washington, I was, like, nervous.
I picked you to lose.
Yeah, and good team. And I'm like, dude, this game is not even close. I think we beat them by 35. You know, like, it's – I don't know what it is, man. They just cannot hang with these boys from the Missouri Valley.
And I'll say this, too. I've been wrong once about this. I've been right a lot more, but I've been wrong once. And that was back in 16. I said, I don't care what colonial asshole, Robert Morris, James Madison, George Washington, I don't care.
Whatever dead president. Like,
right. If you're going to bring a president up in here, they're going to get smoked and go back to the East Coast.
Yeah.
Now, that didn't happen. And JMU actually found a way to get nasty up front, legitimately.
Yeah.
I say the same thing about the Big Sky, and until I see something different, I will maintain. Because even the one Big Sky game that everybody brings up, which is the opener that Carson lost out in Montana, was a shootout.
Yeah.
And, you know, NDSU had some, I mean, I'm not making excuses, but they got thin at corner. You had Jordan Champion playing outside corner.
There were fires like 5 miles away.
Right. You had Robbie Grimsley starting his first game as a true freshman.
Right.
But they weren't good defensively either. Yes, Montana State's defense, number 2 in the country in scoring defense, number 13 in overall defense. They weren't that good. And that's, like, until I see an actual Big Sky defensive front that doesn't get mangled by North Dakota State, I'm not going to pick the Bison to lose a playoff game to the Big Sky. Not only am I not going to do that, I'm going to pick the Bison to win by 14 plus.
Right. Buddy, it was a bloodbath in the trenches for both sides.
Carnage.
Absolute carnage. Bodies everywhere. And honestly, like, all 5 of the offensive linemen for NDSU, and 6 if you include Mason Miller hopping in at Ogre, were just catching bodies every play. It was so much fun to watch as a former offensive lineman and rewatch it and see how those guys played. But like you said, man, I'm not going to think different until they show me, because nobody has done so yet.
No, they haven't. Let's get a trot in there, baby, for Hunter Lipke.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
What a performance. And it's something that we talked about in the way too early preview, and again, in the transfer portal piece that I put up for VIPs, which is, you have concerns about how much football there is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's only one ball, and it drives fans rightfully insane when Hunter's not touching it.
Yeah.
But you have this incredibly talented, like, tight end group, this incredibly talented tailback group.
Yeah.
And other wide receivers, you're trying to get the ball. But it's like sacrilege not to get 44 involved.
Yeah.
What a performance over the last three playoff games when he finally got healthy again.
Yeah, I mean, the guy legitimately is playing like a man amongst boys right now. And it's so funny because you just know Hunter. He's like mild-mannered, like quiet guy until you get to know him, and then he's annoying and you want to beat him up. But here's the thing. I can't beat him up. But, I mean, he is a legit, like, embodiment of the big-time player, big-time games, you know, saying, because I don't know if there was a single player that plays for the Dallas Cowboys that was tackling 44 on Saturday, and it's good to see him get not only, like, the love he got from the game, but, I mean, dude was all over national media, people yeah. giving him the fullback love. He won Football Guy of the Week. Like, it's just super cool to see this guy, but like you said, man, Tomerik has come on late in the season too. He's just too good of a player to not give him at least 10 carries a game, right? So it's just a spoil of riches for NDSU, and it's going to be a weird balance to see how they figure it out.
Well, and it's something that we'll get into this later, but there's so many guys. Like, you watch Kobe rip that one off.
Right.
Man, how does he not get 12 carries a game?
Yeah.
And not thank God Bussy was on a scooter, but thank God Bussy was on a scooter because, like,
how do you not give him touches?
Right. Like, how does Bussy not get 6, 7, 8 touches a game? And then you look at, like, TK Marshall's talent and potential. Dom Gannella, dressed, couldn't go. Right. How does he not get 15 carries a game
right.
when you look at what he's capable of? And then you add up all these things. It's like, is NDSU going to run the ball 75 times a game? Probably not.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, Kobe, 4 for 106 and a touchdown. Quincy, 11 for 98. Hunter Lupke, 14 for 82 and 3 touchdowns. Tomerik, 9 for 58, 6.4 average, man. That's productive when you put him in. I just don't know how you spread it among these guys, and it goes back to the conversation we had earlier where these are premier running backs at other schools, and they're yeah. staying here to play at NDSU. That just says so much about the program.
Well, let's talk about Quincy, because that's interesting to me. And I think there's a real role, obviously. 14 snaps, 11 of those carries, and 3 of them were options where he read and gave.
Mm-hmm.
So heavily involved. Obviously, can still throw the ball. They did not have a throw in for him in the national championship, which is...
Me and you wanted the backbreaker.
We did. Yeah, I mean, it was fine. And they honestly ended up being able to be way more conservative than we maybe thought, just because of how much they were able to gap those guys.
Yep.
But there's just an obvious role for this kid, at least for the 2022 season. It's obvious.
Yeah, and I think it basically comes down to how much Quincy is willing to embrace it. You know, obviously him staying so far and him announcing that he's staying says a lot about his character. And not only that, but, like, if they're going to ask him to only run this thing 15 times a game or whatever, how many snaps it is, but – hey, maybe 5 of these will get you in a gadget play where you're throwing it, or there were chances where he was going to catch the ball. Like, there's ways to get him on the field, and if he's not going to be sour grapes about not playing quarterback, he's going to have a big role in this team coming up next fall.
What I'll say about that, too, is we've talked about him just being too good of an athlete not to play professional football.
Right.
And that's what's interesting to me as far as, yes, I understand that the young man has – one target, one drop on his receiving yeah. career currently. But if you could move him and have him do some of the things that Josh Babbage did this year.
Yeah.
And have him do some of the, like, Andrew Bonnet-y stuff or the Lipke stuff when Lipke's not doing the Lipke stuff.
Sure.
And really utilize him as a true H-back.
Yeah.
And throw it to him and hand it to him and have him take direct snaps. But not only use it, and I get that the program does not exist to put players in the NFL. That's not why NDSU football exists. They're goddamn good at it, though.
Sure.
I mean, better than any other FCS program and better than a lot of mid-major programs.
Mm-hmm.
Better than some crappy Power 5 programs. Like,
absolutely.
I would would guess that there's probably more Bison in the league than there are Jayhawks.
Sure.
You know, yeah. I'm not going to do the, you know, not going to look it up right now, but
the bad radio.
Yeah, right, right. But the ability to showcase Quincy in that way,
yeah.
I think would equate to wins and losses. I think the ability to expand his role and not just have him be Javon Williams Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And not just have him as a Wildcat quarterback. I think if you have him do these other things, like if you split him out wide, that's scary shit.
Yeah, what corner, not only, like he has corner speed legitimately.
Yeah.
And then you add in the fact that he's the size of every linebacker on your staff. So like,
he's bigger than all of NDSU's.
Right. So what are you going to do about it, man? And like, it might be a thing where you can attach him to the formation and let him block once in a while, and then right. he sneaks out and he's running down the seam on your safeties. There's so much stuff that I think you can do with Quincy.
Even think of this. How about just a straight RPO where it's inside zone or throw it out? What if he's got an 8-yard cushion? Now all of a sudden Cam has thrown it to Quincy, who is one-on-one with a 181-pound corner. That's a bad day. Yeah. You can have a bad day.
Yeah, correct, because it's either you take this 8-yard handoff or he either jumps over you or runs through you, because Quincy can do both. I genuinely think, like you said, is a guy that can contribute to another successful season in roles that aren't playing quarterback. And I think it's been pretty impressive how he's jumped in and embraced the role as he has already.
I'm very impressed with him as well. Let's talk about your boys.
My boys.
We need to talk about the Rams. So our friends over at Pro Football Focus College, of the, let's see here, top 9 grades for offense, 5 of them are the, and by the way, this includes 25 players, and it's on a per-snap basis. So mm-hmm. if you have one good snap, you could be the highest-graded player in the game.
Yeah.
5 of the top 9, including 4 of the 3 of the top 5, are the offensive line. The only non-offensive linemen that were graded in the top 9 were Cam Miller, Kobe Johnson, Christian Watson, and Josh Babich, who all 4 had phenomenal days. But of the top 25, you're talking about the elite of the elite was the way that the Rams played on Saturday.
Yeah, man. And like, it's a continual thing that gets said in that room, is that you're only as strong as your weakest link. And buddy, there were no weak links on Saturday. They played a cohesive, well-communicated, physical game. That's all you can ask for from an offensive line. And I talked to Coach Larson at our alumni practice, and he said, hey, you're going to see some stuff moved off the ball tomorrow. And the piss was hot, Ross, because those boys were moving Bobcats off the line the entire game, and there was absolutely nothing they could do to do anything about it.
Yes, the piss was indeed hot. There's no question about it. Then, and you know, shouts to Cody Mauch,
America's sweetheart, man.
I know. Like you talk about how viral Lipke went, Cody went pretty damn viral, and the country, I think, especially with him coming back next year. There will be talk about him being like a clown, which is probably accurate.
Yeah.
But I think people need to understand that, like, he's probably the best returning offensive lineman in FCS.
Yeah, the fact that he's an elite football player, it makes up. That's why he can be a clown. Like, if Cody sucked, they would not let him slide to do a first down signal.
Yeah, exactly. If Cody sucked, the coaches would not have any of that crap.
By the way, we might have to put it out on the Bison Report account because not many people know about it. But, you know, Quinn Meneres,
Miners, yeah.
Yes, the Whitewater and Bronco offensive lineman did the Napoleon Dynamite dance.
Yes.
There's a Cody Mauch video of him doing the Napoleon Dynamite dance. So that might have to come out and grace the eyes of Bison Nation.
That's amazing. I got a question for you, Zach.
Yeah.
In 536 career, counting 2019, 2020, and 2021, in 536 pass blocking snaps over 3 seasons, how many sacks has Cody Mauch given up?
I have one in my memory that I remember.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah.
One. He has given up one sack in his entire career.
And it'll make people laugh because he came giggling off the sideline. Oh, that was stupid. like the most Cody Mock stuff of all time. But I mean, the dude is as solid as a rock, and it gets lost in the fact that he's like doing dabs and sliding into first down signals, but he is a legit, like, elite left tackle.
On the Montana State side, I just wanted to take the time to, like, shout out Tucker Rovig.
Yeah.
That kid had, even beyond, like, Cam Miller, where I have respect for him for not bouncing after kind of what he went through, that kid had all sorts of nonsense go on in that quarterback room as far as the NC State transfer kid, Matthew McKay.
We can do a whole breakdown on that QB room.
Right, and the NC State kid comes in, he's the starter, then he bounces like during the playoffs or immediately before the playoffs, then this 6 foot nothing, 190 pound nothing kid comes in and is a legitimate cult hero.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell? And then he comes in and plays some pretty damn elite football to keep them as in it as they were. But I get it. Like, oh man, our quarterback got hurt. Okay, cool. You need to understand that your quarterback came in and played his ass off.
Yeah, and honestly, for like Montana State fans to get on public and get on Twitter and talk about, oh, we lost Tommy. Oh, dude, that's legit disrespect to Mr. Rovig, because the dude played as well as he could. You know, obviously there were some bounce passes and stuff, but who knows what Tommy could have done. It could have been the make or break game where he throws four picks and this game's over after the first quarter, you know? So I'll give my flowers to him too. Me and you, and even during the game, it wasn't like a breakdown. We went through and looked at the grades. Oh, he played well. We're like, dude's kind of slinging it. He's playing all right now.
He threw some seeds.
Absolutely. And there were balls that were dropped that honestly could have changed the landscape of the game more than people think. So, yeah, shout out to him, man. I thought he played well.
Basically just wanted to make mention, hoping Tuts is doing okay.
Yep.
He, you know, wants to come back next year. You never know with those lower leg injuries. It didn't look great, but all signs so far have been that it's all right.
Yeah, he was walking, jogging around on the sideline trying to get back in, so that would tell me that, you know, hopefully he's ready to go by August.
Then that's just a situation where I think NDSU was pretty locked in as far as we have the game in hand.
Yeah.
Plus, we really like our third safety.
And also, like, it's hard to keep a dog like Todd off the field. He's one of those dudes that will, like, do anything he can to get his reps and get his snaps. So I think they just had to calm him down a little bit and say, hey, this is a long play for you next year and whatever lies beyond that. Settle down. We got this one handled. Let Dom Jones take care of business.
And take care of business, Dom Jones did. Tell you who else took care of business. Dawson Weber. That might have been the best game I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, I mean, he was everywhere. And, like, the pick aside, dude played phenomenally. Hit probably the coldest photo we've ever seen taken of a Bison player. He plays with so much swag, and I almost did the sneaky athletic thing, but he is, yes, like, he can legit run with anybody on the field at any given time, and he played his butt off. Great person, great family. It's always exciting for him to get his flowers for what he's doing.
We'll have a broader discussion, I guess, about Coach in a second, but just the game, and we'll close with this on the game recap. Just the game that Tyler Roll called was so impressive to me. I mean, he was obviously going to run the football, but the multiple ways, the multiple formations, the multiple ball carriers, the way in which he did it was just awesome, man.
Yeah, and like we told everybody listening that they're going to see some stuff they've never seen before. I saw stuff I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Like they go into the Delta formation, split cam out and direct snap it to Hunter, pull a guard. That's stuff I've never seen before. Like, he really was, like, showing off his top-tier X's and O's ability. And like I said, I could sit here and give my guy Coach Roll flowers all day. But, you know, shout out to him. He called a heck of a game.
And that's the funny thing is, like, it wasn't even gimmicky. It was...
Yeah. It wasn't, like, the reverse, like, fumble Ruski.
Right.
It was,
right,
like...
This is just a new way to jam it down your throat.
Good luck lining up against it, man. Like, this is something you've never seen on a football film before. And like you said, like, it's going to be between the tackles, but it's going to get there in a way you've never seen before.
Okay. Let's move to a more of a season-long discussion here.
Mm-hmm.
what were your honest expectations coming into the year? What were your, after what happened in the spring, what did you really think was going to happen?
Well, I just knew how much those live bullets meant for the young guys coming in, and I thought we were going to reload. I didn't think we were going to win by four scores on the national championship or anything that like that. I was expecting a dominant performance each and every game, and honestly, the schedule was kind of favorable for how it shook out for us to play. It's hard for me to not expect it ending in Frisco in one way or another.
Right.
But, I mean, it was, besides the SCSU game, it was true and utter domination throughout this entire season, which I can't say I expected.
No, no, and I think, you know, for me, I kind of, it all depended sort of on the quarterback situation at South Dakota State for me, because, you know, they brought that whole group back.
Yeah.
Basically brought that whole group back, lost way more games than I thought any of us expected. And
yeah,
it's not like their dudes didn't produce. Like, Pierre was fine. Tucker Kraft took another step. That kid's an absolute animal. Like, Winkleman and Sanders were still good. Bach took a step.
Yep.
They just lost, yeah. You know, and that's kind of been like Stig's thing, is just to come up small in the big moments.
Yeah.
And that's what they did, because I think, man, you line NDSU up against SDSU on a neutral field with equal rest, I think Bison maybe win six.
Yeah.
That, to me, that South Dakota State team, and it's not just because they're the only team on the schedule that you know, took one off the Bison. Like, they were the second most talented team in FCS, maybe JMU.
Yeah.
But, like, they were that good, and that was always my thing was, man, SDSU's bringing all those dogs back.
Yeah.
Can NDSU make enough of a jump to jump past – where SDSU already was last year.
Right.
And that was always the question for me. And I think it was, you know, ultimately answered.
Yeah. And, you know, we had this conversation after SDSU lost, but I don't know if it's just because I played in it and I've seen the rivalry and how it is, like, inside the locker room. If you run four plays a game, like, during the marker game and you lose, but you beat them in the playoffs, it is what it is, honestly. Like, it sucks as a fan because you have to sit there for 365 days and listen to SDSU fans. But I'm telling you, that's not how, like, the whole thing's built, is not to sell out and beat SDSU.
But can I say something?
Yeah.
It can't be it is what it is next year.
Why?
I mean, I know what you're saying, but I think you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
That game's at home. 2 years is enough.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I don't like losing to SDSU, but it's not – you won't see the same game called in Frisco that you'll get in the Fargo Dome next year.
Quick bad radio here. Really quick bad radio. I'd love to know how late in the year that – and Quincy just – he opens up so much BS.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that in the best possible way.
Yeah, and not even BS that it's like all the hidden gem plays. It's like, or if you split Cam out wide and run an RPO with Quincy, what are you going to do about it? Like, how does that affect your team and how they line up?
Sure. Ooh, wow. Dead middle of the season with a bye after.
That's huge.
October 15th, a bye after.
I love that.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. All right. Anyway, that's a weird side tangent. But all right. So, Let's have the discussion about mm-hmm. Coach Roll, because I think that was the biggest storyline throughout the season, at least for us.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, they released the offensive graphic and whatever. I mean, anybody that wanted him fired, you look like an idiot, period.
Yeah, go look at it. Like, and I kept it in the back of my
mind.
They were
a top two offense in the Valley and a top five offense nationally.
These are easily accessible numbers. Look up 2019 total offense versus 2021.
By the way, with Trey Lance having the best season ever.
Arguably, like, the best O-line to ever play here, too, at the same time. Like, the numbers aren't that different if you put them on a sheet of paper, look at them side by side. And I don't know what it was, like, this freak-out hysteria thing for all these Bison fans that wanted this guy fired, man. Like, it's tried and true of how these games get called. You might not like it. It might be boring. But guess what? The Bison are going to win. So, you know.
And here's the thing. Here's my biggest problem, Zach. And this is, to me, is just an incontrovertible fact with I would say between 70 and 80% of the people that make these comments online, it is the same people that will puff out their chest and talk noise to UND fans, to UNI fans, to South Dakota State fans. They will pump their chest, even to Montana State fans, and say, look, you just got 450 yards on the ground on your ass.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Because when it's not working, or they win 17 to 10 instead of 40 to 10, and it goes for 180 yards or for 210 yards instead of 450, you call that exact same play calling predictable.
Yeah.
You thump your chest about it when it works, but when it doesn't, it's predictable. And here's the thing. It works. Over time, it works. Nine of the last 11 seasons, it's worked. This is the most successful football program in the history of the planet Earth.
Correct.
I get that they're not as good as Georgia. I understand that. Yeah. Like, that's not questionable. I am talking about peer-to-peer, resources versus resources. I'm talking about NDSU versus Alabama versus Mount Union versus Mary Hardin Baylor versus St. John's versus St. Thomas versus Wisconsin Whitewater versus Oklahoma in the 50s.
Alpo. Or I'm an idiot. Appalachian State.
Appalachian State.
Yes, God.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is the most successful college football program in the history of college football.
Correct.
This run. Nobody has come close.
Yeah.
So, yes, sometimes it's not as fun as the air raid. But you guys had a lot of fun when Hunter Lipke was doing Hunter Lipke things, didn't you?
Yeah, and guess what loses? The air raid. Like, it's pretty clear cut, and this offense has literally never changed besides running the triple option back in the day. It is what it is. It's going to be ground and pound. We're going to throw the ball 12 times, but guess what? None of you are stopping no matter what we're doing. And, like, it goes into a whole other conversation of, like, are we spoiled with how this thing goes? Like, what's next?
Right.
There should be no conversation after we win a football game.
No.
As far as I'm concerned.
And I'll just say this, and I'm going to leave this alone because I'm just going to get angry about it. But all you geniuses online talking about, you know, fire roll, hire Mess because he's now available. And I love Courtney Messingham. I have no problem with Courtney Messingham. Really go look at his offenses. Go look at points per game. Go look at yards per play. Efficiency numbers. Look at the stuff that matters. And then look at Tyler's offenses in 19 and in 21.
Hey, can I say something too?
Go ahead.
Look at the rosters. Yeah. Look who is leading the helm for Courtney Messingham.
And that, folks, is the point and was always the point. Especially on the offensive side, most fans put too much on the coaches and not enough on the players.
Yeah.
It is more about the Jimmies and Joes and the X's and O's. And yes, college football coaches get their Jimmies and Joes based on their ability to recruit.
Right.
And that is part of it. But as far as play calling, God, you can't play call. If you would have had Cam Miller starting and playing the way that Cam Miller played, you wouldn't have scored 16 points in Grand Forks.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much the coaches can do, because here's the thing. If you would let T-Roll run down and run the plays, he would, but he can't.
Right.
So it's just a matter of fact that you can only put him in positions to be successful, and everything else is outside of the coach's control. So, like you said, to act like everything is – like the coaches are up there playing Madden. They're not. They're not controlling the players.
Right.
It's all about execution from those guys too. And, you know, I think – Coach Roll has a lot of people eating crow here this week.
Let's give Camden Miller his flowers.
Yeah, he deserves them. A lot of them.
Because I don't think people really like view him on the same level as those other QBs, and that's maybe fair. I mean, you know, Brock and Easton may not have been the elite NFL prospects that Trey and Carson were, but and at the same time, Trey and Carson don't have the achievements that Brock and Easton do.
Sure.
And Cam... He's 6'1", 200 pounds. Nobody, you know, he's not Trey. He's not Carson. Like,
but also looks like he's 17, which, well, I think plays into it.
But, I mean, my point is, like, Cam would do very well to be, like, a mid-round pick. And I'm not crapping on Cam. I'm just saying, like, he does not have
yeah.
those elite physical tools that make NFL GMs mouths water.
Right.
Can you win NFL football games with a guy that doesn't have those NCAA football games? Hell yes, you can.
Absolutely. And that's
so he's not on the level of those guys right now, but his commitment to the program and his refusal to take his ball and go home when any other, and it's been proven now, any other team in the country could have used a Cam Miller.
Yeah.
What he was able to do to lead them back in that Illinois State game, which, by the way, is why all three of those playoff games were at home.
Absolutely.
Missouri State. Sorry, what did I say?
Illinois State.
That wasn't that. Missouri State.
I think I don't listen to you.
Sure, that's fair. His ability to come back and win that game and then take the program over, and I know he didn't win in Brookings, I get it, but his ability to really right the ship, and not that it was, Quincy was 7-0 as a starter, so it's not like the ship was sinking, but really get that offense to that next level and just be calm, cool, and collected through that whole thing. I know a lot of people listening to this show are drinking the Cole Payton Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And I get that. But like I said, flowers for Cam Miller.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can look at the shiny new toy and see how big and strong and freaky Cole Payton is. And, hey, I do it too. Like, Cole's going to be a hell of a player here. Or he's going to be a hell of a college football player. I don't know how that whole thing's going to shake out.
Sure.
But my thing is if Cam stays for the rest of his career, he's going to go down as one of the best Bison of all time. And you're just seeing the beginning of that. From what he did coming back from that Missouri State game to, you know, running him through this whole run and honestly making it look easy at the QB position and, you know, going through all the BS of the COVID and losing the starting job. I think that's something people don't talk about enough, how hard that is for a guy like him who, you know, came in the spring and played pretty well, didn't win the big one like he was expecting to. And then come back and say, oh, you're not the starter. You know, that's hard for a guy like him, like you said, to not take his ball and go home and just keep his chin up. It's Bison pride, and it's a lot of pride that Cam Miller has in himself. So shout out to Cam. All the flowers he deserves, man. Heck of a season.
And that's what you said is interesting, and we'll take a little look forward. But, I mean, that to me is the most interesting storyline for the next two seasons, which is we talked about it, man. We said, okay, well, your path, I guess, is then if Quincy leaves – everything you had in the playbook for Quincy, you can probably have in there for Cole because Cole is such a rocked up athlete and is so elite athletically and whatever. Well, now the Quincy stuff is for Quincy.
Sure.
And you might just be looking at Cole Payton as literally a third string quarterback, which seems nuts. Yeah. And at the same time, if you're one of those Bison fans, and let me tell you, they exist. I promise you they exist. If you're one of those Bison fans that thinks Cole Payton is going to flat out win the starting job in the fall, I mean, it's like I said, it's all very, very interesting because it's kind of like, you know, people will go back in fantasy book the 2013 season, 2012 season, where it's like, Carson's better than Brock. Okay. But are you really going to tell Brock that he can't drop his two championship rings on the table and say, I am the goddamn starting quarterback?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just the people who tell me this exactly that Cole's going to come out and win this starting job, and they don't understand how hard it is to play college football, and they don't understand how well Cam has been playing. That's all that tells me. And, you know, a lot of Bison fans are not – like diving into the tape and watching TV copies multiple times like you and I are.
Right.
So their first impressions are what they get. First and only impressions are what they get from watching the game on Saturdays.
Yeah.
I need people to understand that Cam's playing at an elite level.
Oh, man.
And he's going to be a fantastic player for a long time. And, dude, I'll just leave it at this. It's going to take a heck of a spring ball and a heck of a fall camp for Cole Payton to unseat him.
It is. It absolutely is. And then, like you said, you hope that Cole Payton has, you know, kind of what Cam had in him and wants to stick around or not.
Right. I will never blame a kid for wanting to transfer and go where he thinks is a better fit for him because Cole Payton's too good of a player to not play for 4 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I wouldn't blame him either for not wanting to waste his talent for sitting on a bench just because he happens to be behind a guy who's, I think, going to go down as an all-timer when he's done.
Sure. All right. That's fair. As far as the rest of the roster, though, man, I mean, it's loaded. And that's, I think you're going to end up with, you know, some stuff like that. But with the portal, maybe not, because mm-hmm. you think, you know, you get the opportunity for these guys to stay a fifth, stay a sixth year, whatever. I think a lot of programs are going to go through rougher attrition, but man, you could look at this NDSU roster and you talk about 4 out of 5 offensive linemen returning, with the fifth guy being the guy who was already playing the Ogre and was already, they had a package where Cordell kicked into guard and he was the one who played right tackle. He was kind of half a starter or one third of a starter.
The fifth and a half starting O-line.
Right. So you bring back that whole group, you bring back all the fullbacks, you bring back all the tailbacks.
Yeah.
We will miss Christian Watson, and I say we, not as in like I'm part of the team, we as in I will miss covering that kid.
Yeah, Bison Report will miss Christian Watson.
He was crazy fun to watch play football, and a great kid. I mean, yep. a good kid to interact with, but he would do insane stuff on the football field that was fun to cover, fun to watch.
Right, and, you know, I want to go back to something you just said, and I think you said it subconsciously, and, you know, there's that argument of rebuild versus reload. Team's loaded, man. There's neither.
You don't need to rebuild or reload this team.
The boys are good to go. I mean, we've talked about some positions that on a wish list, sure, you can build some depth at certain positions through the transfer portal or however that goes through, whether it's a young guy ready to step up. There are going to be guys that need to fill a bigger role coming up this next year. That's no different than any other season. But Christian, like,
from a – so, I mean, you talk about what matters, what truly matters at NDC. And I'm not saying that Christian Watson didn't matter, because he did mm-hmm. in a big way. But when you really talk about, okay, what matters at NDSU? Run offense.
Yep.
This has a chance, if they can keep guys together, to be one of the better run offenses in the history of the program. You bring back 4.5 out of 5 starting offensive linemen. Your entire crew chiefs outside of Babich, Gindorf will be one of the best blocking tight ends ever.
Yeah.
As a sixth-year senior.
Yeah.
You bring back Waters. You bring back Brosio. You bring back Hofstadt. You bring back all the perimeter Rams. You bring back Hunter and all of those backs. And maybe one of them hits the portal. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. But what they have, and then you have the opportunity to bring in Cole Payton to run the ball and Quincy Patterson to run the ball.
Yeah.
Stopping the run against NDSU next year is going to be impossible. And you can say, well, teams will load up against it. Okay.
Good luck.
Okay.
Teams have been loading up against it for 15 years, and there's just simply nothing you can do about it.
Right. And defensively, they'll have some work to do on the defensive line.
Yep.
But that back seven is going to be terrifying.
Yeah,
the entire absolutely. Secondary returns. You have invaluable experience gained by Dom Jones, gained by Marquis Siegel, gained by Courtney Eubanks, gained by Cole Wisniewski.
Yeah. And dudes that are legit old guys now. And it blows my mind to say this, but like Jasir Cox and James Kayser are old dudes
man.
Now.
Old man.
So good for them, man. They're going to be anchoring that defense and setting the tone. You know, we talked about the Mike position. Not sure what's going to go on there. But there are freaks on this roster that can step into that spot now.
I mean, that, you know, you just kind of, I think you just throw, you could certainly have Cole rotate with James again, or you throw Cole in there at Mike with Wirtz and Kubitz, and just say, whichever one of you three figures it out, you're going to be the guy.
Yeah. And it has to be fun being the guy at Mike for NDSU, because, I mean, those guys go down as the best ever. They get their flowers. So
the Mikes always get their flowers.
Yeah.
Talk about Joe Mays, talk about Dukes.
Yeah.
Obviously Hanky.
Hanky now. Yeah. So it's going to be some stuff that's going to shake out, and it's going to be exciting to see, man. But there is, like I said, there's going to be none of this reload, rebuild kind of thing going on next year.
So what's your expectation for spring football now? What do you think that's going to look like? I think, you know, the first true spring ball since 2019, because 2020 they were playing an actual football season. Well, right, actual in quotations. But what is, do you suppose the expectation is for spring ball now in a year where it's not getting over 15 games.
Yeah.
It's getting over 24 games.
Right.
Like, these guys had to play football games, man.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is going to be more health-centered than it normally is. Guys like James Kayser or Jasir, you don't need to be in there taking full contact reps every day.
Right.
You still need them. Knock the rust off. Stay sharp.
Right.
But, like, that Mike position is going to be the guys who are battling it out during the full reps to see who's getting that spot. The O-line, Cody played a ton of football. Nash has played a ton of football. Jalen and Kubas, both guys that have played a ton of football. But Mason Miller needs to see some live reps at right tackle.
Jake Rock, Gray Zabel.
Yeah, all those guys. So I think it's going to be it's more of the same of what spring ball is. You know, you'll get the coach speak of, you know, we're building depth, getting guys back healthy. I think it's going to be a lot of and the coaches are smart and they know what to do, but they're going to keep guys healthy, get them ready to come back and make another deep run of 15, 16 games.
Yeah, I think this is going to be huge for guys like Britton Pascoe, guys like Sam Henry, guys like, you know, the Logan Kopp, guys that maybe they had a little bit of run on the tires, but even Bryce Lance. I mean, guys that that
did. I was going to say Cole Payton.
Sure.
Yeah, just develop him as a player as we go into this too, man, because, you know, it was his first semester on campus this year, and everybody's talking about this, so the spring is where development happens and everything gets sharpened up in the fall. But it's going to be really exciting to see how this depth chart shakes out. Most of it's the same, but those spots that are open are very intriguing to me.
They are. All right, Zach, want to thank you for your time today. Want to thank our friends at Herd and Horns for sponsoring the show. And, of course, your wonderful company, Big Deck Barbecue. We want to thank you guys for following along with us not only today but all football season long. Have a phenomenal rest of your week. And go Bison.